Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth, who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this 22nd day of February 2021. I have a prayer request to start off the program today. Please pray for the Bagnato family, the surviving members of the family of Joe Bagnato, who was a dear friend of mine going all the way back to my infancy in Christianity. When I was first saved in the 1980s, Joe Bagnato was a deacon at Calvary Baptist Church in Amityville, Long Island, a Reformed Baptist church that later merged with First Baptist Church of Merrick to become Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island. And Joe had been a deacon there all these years, and he and his wife were very close friends of mine, very instrumental parts of my growth in the Christian faith, being there as friends and just wonderful Christian examples to follow. Tragically, Joe died day before yesterday, Saturday afternoon. And it was more recently than that. It was yesterday afternoon. And I just would like prayer for that family as they mourn the loss of a wonderful, godly man. His illness was complicated by the coronavirus, and he was put on a respirator and did not last very long after that. So please pray for the Bagnato family at this time of deep mourning and grief, but they all have the joy of knowing with certainty that Joe is indeed with the Lord God, Savior, and King, Jesus Christ, whom he served so faithfully and joyfully for so many years. And I thank you for your prayers for Joe Bagnato. I am so thrilled to have back on the show today to discuss part two of a subject that we began a number of weeks ago. I am speaking of Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III. Actually, we began this conversation with him on February 9th, and this is part two of a discussion on a book that is soon to be brought back into print, How to Read the Bible Biblically. Dr. Moorcraft is an author and pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back again to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft.
It's always enjoyable, Chris, to be with you.
And let me right away give out our email address for our listeners who may have questions of their own. It's chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence. If you live outside of the USA, please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you have an understanding of a topic we are addressing that is in disagreement with your own pastors, or perhaps you're even a pastor and you disagree with your own elders or denomination over something, or you're just becoming educated about an issue that is causing you to question former beliefs that are being embraced by your congregation, whatever the case may be, that would lend you to desiring to remain anonymous, we will obviously grant you that request. But if it's just a general question on church history, on theology, on doctrine, just please, if it's a general question, give us at least your first name, city and state, and country of residence. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Well, as we always do, Dr. Markgraf, for the sake of those who are hearing you for the first time, especially, and do not know anything about Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, why don't you let our listeners know something about that congregation?
Our church is a small church, about 4 years old, 40 miles north of Atlanta, and we are a member of the Reformed Presbyterian Church, Hanover Presbytery. Our people come from every kind of background, from miles away as well as close at home. We are devoted to the inerrancy of Scripture, to the original Westminster Confession of Faith and larger and shorter catechisms, and to the carrying out of the Great Commission.
And if anybody wants more information on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, the website is heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Well, Dr. Markgraf, we already covered in part one of this discussion on February 9th some primary things involving a discussion on how to read the Bible biblically. We addressed how, when reading the Bible, we have to determine what kind of literature this particular section we might be reading is. We discussed how to interpret prophecy biblically. We addressed the importance of the historical grammatical hermeneutics or hermeneutical approach to interpreting Scripture. We delved into a bit of what, at least at the very beginning, may appear to be baffling and bizarre imagery in the Book of Revelation and how we are to interpret those things. We addressed the different kinds of literalism that we must have in mind when we read the Scripture, and that nobody really has a wooden literal interpretation of the entire Bible, even though they might claim to interpret the Bible in its entirety literally. What they mean by that is not necessarily what one might automatically think. If you take that sentence literally, nobody interprets the Bible that way. Not even the most hardcore of fundamentalist dispensationalists do. But if you could, why don't you do a summary of some of the most important things that we already addressed, and then we'll move on to new uncharted territory in this discussion.
Sure. I think last time we talked about the principles of interpretation. This time I want us to talk about the presuppositions, but a lot of people do not know how to read the Bible today. And in some ways, you read the Bible like you do not read any other book, since it alone is the Word of God. And there are other ways in which you read the Bible like you read any other book. That is, like you just said, you take into consideration what kind of literary genre you're studying. Is it historical narrative, poetry, parable, prophecy, law, what? And then you interpret it accordingly. And you, when we finished, I was talking about one of the greatest gifts of the 16th century Protestant Reformation to the church. And that is how to read the Bible. John Calvin and the other reformers gave us the principle of interpretation called the grammatical historical hermeneutic. Hermeneutic simply means principles of biblical interpretation. For 1,000 years almost prior to the Reformation, most of the medieval church had an allegorical interpretation of the Bible where they were always finding hidden meanings symbolisms, secret meanings that only the priest and the church knew, and the average person could not read the Bible for himself because these symbols and hidden meanings were so fantastic that the average Bible reader would never come up. He would never come up with these things just reading the Bible for himself. And so we were talking about the grammatical part of the grammatical historical hermeneutic. That is, if we have an English Bible and we're English American and we don't know English grammar, we will not know how to read the Bible. We've got to know what verbs are, subject, predicate, adverbs, adjectives, past, present, future, pronouns, antecedent to pronoun. All of those are extremely important. So one of the most important things your hearers can do is go back and review English grammar, at least on the basic elements. The other side of that principle of hermeneutic, grammatical historical, we didn't get to, and that is that when we consider a passage of Scripture, we must always take into consideration its context. And that is what's going on at the time. Here you have, in Romans 8, say you have Jesus saying, I'm the light of the world. Who's he speaking to? You bring it up at that particular point in his battle with the Pharisees and the scribes, etc. That makes all the difference. When Jesus said, I'm the bread of life, what did he just do? He just fed the 5,000 with a few loaves and fishes. And the whole point of that great miracle was to tell them that he is the bread of life, that if you eat of that bread, you'll never hunger and thirst again. And when you see in the 8th chapter where Jesus says, I'm the light of the world, it's against the backdrop of the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles that took place in Jerusalem. And one of the rites that they had in that feast was to light massive candelabras and to people to carry torches around to commemorate the time that they lived in the wilderness in temporary housing. And they built booths now and during this feast. And they're celebrating the fact that God provided manna for them, God provided water, God led them by the pillar of fire. And so Jesus is saying, forget the candelabras. Forget the torches. The temple's dead. It's turned for me. I'm the Lord of the temple. It's my house. And I'm telling you, I am the light of the world now. Previous to that, another ritual they did in the Feast of the Tabernacles is they had a golden pitcher, and they filled it with water, and they poured it around the base of the altar, symbolizing the water that came from the rock that God provided for them in the wilderness. And Jesus, in that very context, said, forget the golden pitcher with the water. I am the water of life. And so in the 6th chapter, he says, God fed you with manna in the wilderness. Praise the Lord for that. But I am the bread of life now. So knowing the situation into which things are spoken is extremely important, not only to understanding, but enriching the text. And to put it more simply, when you read a verse, always see what the verses before it and the verses after it, how they can help you understand that verse.
In fact, just like a realtor, any good realtor knows that the value of a home and property are determined by location, location, location. That's a common phrase that people being trained in the realty field and also those who are buying or selling a house are educated about. Location, location, location determines the value. And that's how we determine what a scripture is actually saying, and you might even rephrase that context, context, context.
That's exactly right. A text without a context is a pretext. That's an old saying. And so you get a verse, you see what's the historical situation, who's speaking, who's being spoken to, what's being spoken about. You look at the paragraph before the paragraph afterwards to see if they can help you understand the verse that you're studying. A lot of the cults take texts out of their context and try to make them say things they don't really say. One obvious old example of how you can take a text out of its context and prove that the Bible teaches that there is no God. There is a verse in the book of Psalms, quote, "There is no God." Now, if you take that out of its context, you got a big problem. But when you look at what it says in the rest of that verse, before and after it says, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God." One of the most practical things that has happened is for the Bible to be put in verses and chapters. That has been a great help. When the Bible was originally written in Hebrew and Greek, it did not have any chapters or verses. There's many times there weren't spaces between the words, but somebody put them into chapter and verses to help us find where such and such a thing is easier. It makes it easy. The problem is, here's the weakness of chapters and verses. When people read the Bible and they don't know what they're doing, and they think the Bible is simply a collection of verses. So people say, well, here's my verse for today, or here's my favorite verse, as if it's just a collection of verses. Take and pick your verses. But it's not a collection of verses. It's written in paragraphs. It's written in books. And when I study the Bible, when I preach, I try to read in terms and preach in terms of paragraphs. You know, a paragraph is a paragraph because it contains one central thought. And so when you go to the Bible, you look for various markings that identify where paragraphs begin. And then you study that paragraph and see what that paragraph, the central point of that paragraph is, and how that paragraph is making the point. And so there's always the context, a variety of contexts. For instance, when you study a verse, the first thing you've got to realize is it's in the context of the Bible. And therefore, every word in that verse is the word of the living God. Another context you have to ask, is this in the Old Testament or the New Testament? That makes a lot of difference. You ask yourself, this is in the book of Luke, so I've got to study this verse in terms of what Luke's purpose was for writing his book. And so on. I mean, Bible study is not something you just take a pill and all of a sudden you can do, easy as it can be. It takes effort. It takes work. It takes concentration. It takes thought. It takes knowledge. It takes discipline. And so the grammatical historical hermeneutic simply says when you study the grammar in a text and you study the biblical meaning of the words in the text, all the way up, make sure that you define words biblically and not just according to Webster's Collegiate Dictionary. You understand the meaning of the words biblically. You understand the grammatical relationship. You understand the context of that particular passage, and then with dependence upon the Holy Spirit to enlighten your heart, you can come to a correct understanding of the passage of Scripture that you're studying.
And we already have a listener who has a question. We have CJ in Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, who asks, I have heard different people say that we who are believers in sola scriptura, that the scriptures are our sole, infallible, and inerrant authority over the church, are inconsistent because we believe things like the historical grammatical approach to scripture and sola scriptura itself, which are concepts not clearly spelled out in the Bible. How do you respond to people that make such accusations?
Well, I would say they are. The people who say that those aren't biblical, they're very shrewd when they make that point. The Roman Catholic Church is making the point more and more that the Bible itself does not teach sola scriptura. But here's the way.
That is their main argument. They think that is our primary Achilles heel.
Oh, I know it. I'll just give you one verse. It's in Corinthians, and right off the bat, I can't remember whether it's first or second. It's chapter 4. And it says, Paul's talking, and he says, do not go beyond what is written. Now,
that was the last word of the debate that Greg Bonson had with Jerry Matatex when they were debating over Sola Scriptura. That was the last word of the debate.
Oh, I know. I heard that. That's exactly right. So you can defend the idea that the Bible is the inerrant, sole, divine authority for the Christian, and that the Word of God is confined to Scripture and does not include oral tradition or the decrees of the Pope. You can find that in Timothy. I mean, it's not difficult to present an exegetical, expository, biblical defense of Sola Scriptura, nor is it difficult to present a biblical defense of the grammatical, historical, hermeneutic. What you do is you see how the authors of the Bible interpreted Scripture. How did Paul interpret the Old Testament? How did Paul interpret the Word of Jesus? So you look at the apostles, for example, and you see how they read Scripture and how they interpreted Scripture, and you'll find that the method that they used is exactly the method we've talked about, the grammatical historical hermeneutic. So both of those principles can be, without difficulty, defended. I have written a major paper on the biblical basis for Sola Scriptura, and I know a young man that has written the best book ever written on the grammatical historical hermeneutic. And the information's out there. So don't let these people throw you off balance when they say you're using non-biblical methods to interpret the Bible. We say, no, here's the reason I believe in Sola Scriptura. Here's the reason I believe in the grammatical historical hermeneutic. Now, understand that when we say Sola Scriptura, we're not saying that a Christian does not have to read anything else. That a Christian, if he's humble, is going to be dependent solely upon the Bible as the Word of God, the 66 books of the Protestant Bible as the Word of God. But he's going to want to know what has the Holy Spirit taught the church throughout its history. And so he looks at some commentaries or sermons of the great God-owned preachers or commentarians throughout history. For input, he's humble enough not to depend entirely upon himself. Whenever I prepare a sermon for a text, I always study as many sermons and commentaries on that text that I can study all the way back to the early church.
And the way that we should counter-argue or defend that practice as not being in contradiction to Sola Scriptura is that the Bible clearly teaches that teachers are required in the church and that not everybody even was qualified to be a teacher. So therefore, there is nothing inconsistent with gathering to yourself teachers that are living and dead and comparing them with each other, and most of all, as a Berean, comparing what they have to say to what the Scripture teaches. And that's the key, is that we don't use only the Bible to understand the Bible, but we have to judge what teachers are saying according to the Bible.
Exactly correct. That if we think that we don't need any help. As individualists, we don't need any help. We just can come to our conclusions without any assistance from the church. We're going to wind up with false doctrine. that the Holy Spirit was promised by Jesus to lead the church into all truth. So in understanding the scriptures, we've got to be humble enough to allow ourselves to say, I can't do this by myself. The Bible's the Word of God. Let's see how other great Christians in the past have interpreted it so that I can have some help in understanding this text. And also I would add to that, that whereas you don't have to know Hebrew and Greek to understand the Bible, you should have a preacher that knows Hebrew and Greek. That more and more seminaries are no longer requiring Hebrew and Greek, Old Testament written in Hebrew, New Testament in Greek. And the reason more of them are not teaching those anymore, requiring them, is because they don't believe in inerrancy, and so it really doesn't matter. But the point is, you need a preacher who knows Hebrew and Greek.
Amen. Yeah. And the comparison of the two views have often been described as the difference between sola scriptura, which is a correct view of Scripture, that the Scriptures are indeed, as the listener said, the sole infallible and inerrant authority over the church. But what is wrong is solo scriptura, thinking so highly of ourselves that all we need is our own mind, the Bible, and a quiet place to read it.
That goes with the denigration of the church. We have a world now where many people profess to be Christians and say they don't want to have anything to do with organized church. All I need is my family and my Bible and my gun, and that's it.
The KJV and an AK-47.
Yes, sir, exactly correct. Yeah.
We have to go to our first break right now. And by the way, when we come back, I'd like you to let our listeners know what that best book that you've seen in print in regard to the historical grammatical interpretation, I believe you said it was about, that a young author wrote it. But anyway, if anybody wants to join us, our email address again is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. We'll be right back with Dr. Joe Markram.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I have been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jansen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Are you tired of looking for the silver bullet when it comes to health and wellness? Are you frustrated with the medical status quo, which masks symptoms and doesn't treat the root problem of sickness? More importantly, are you looking for one of the most unique books ever written, which gives you safe, low-cost, and proven options to regain your health the way God intended? Then look no further than my new book, Health for All of Life, a medical manifesto of hope and healing for the nations. Hi, I'm Jason Garwood, and I'm a husband, father, pastor, and writer whose passion for helping people led me to write this book. If 2020 has proven anything, it's that big pharma, big tech, and big government knows nothing about how to treat people naturally without poisoning them with synthetic drugs and experimental vaccines. But what if God has given us a better way? What if we can take the Christian world view found in the Bible and apply it to health and wellness? My book, Health for All of Life, does just that. You can find this exciting new book on Amazon. Pick up a copy for yourself and for your friends and family. Give the gift of health and don't be a dead end to truth.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And we are now back with our guest today, Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III. This is part two of a discussion we began on February 9th. This is a part two of the discussion, How to Read the Bible Biblically. And if you have a question, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And I think I forgot to tell CJ from Lindenhurst, Long Island, our first questioner of the day, that he has won a free copy of this book. You do have to be patient because it is not back in print yet, but should be within a month or two. But we have been promised by Tim Renshaw that this book will be sent to you as soon as they have it in print. And tell us about this publisher and this ministry who has brought this book of yours back into print, Dr. Moorcraft.
Tim Renshaw is an elder in my church. He's made a good living, had a good career through his life, but for the past year or so, he's laid aside all of his employment and is spending all of his time scanning and editing and publishing box after box after box of unpublished manuscripts I have. And if you go to comprehensivechristianity.com, you will find several books, Kindle, ebooks, paperback books, on everything from 600-page commentary on the book of Genesis to smaller booklets on liberation theology. But it's worth going there, and Tim has done a great and sacrificial job.
That's comprehensivechristianity.com, and hopefully we'll remember to announce that again later. We do have another listener. We have Susan Margaret in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, who says, the verses that you were discussing before that teach sola scriptura, in your opinion, were written during a day when the canon was not even closed yet. How do we use these scriptures as defenses for sola scriptura?
Well, now that's a very important and very big question that will require more time than we have here. But it's simply this. The Bible, the New Testament, also teaches that the canon is going to be concluded and complete, and I'm not going to have the time, of course, to defend all this exegetically, but 1 Corinthians 13 tells us that there's when this process that has given us biblical revelation is completed with the 66 books of the Bible, all the former ways by which God revealed himself to man will come to an end. Now, that's going to cause more questions than answers, but nevertheless, but the Bible does teach itself that there will be a conclusion of the canon resulting in the 66 books of the Scripture. So all of these things fit together. Paul tells us how to interpret the Scriptures. Paul tells us that the Scriptures, the Word of God, is the Bible and Christ, and not the Word of the Church or oral tradition. In Timothy and Corinthians. And then Paul also tells us that there's going to be a completion of this process that has given us biblical revelation. All of those are taught in the Bible.
And, of course, the 66 books, that number is not taught in the Bible. That was just happened to be providentially what came about in the
Well, what's interesting is that Jesus' Old Testament is exactly the same Old Testament that Protestants have.
Mm-hmm.
Not the Old Testament of the Roman Catholic Church.
Right.
Which has more books and more chapters to some of the books. But it's a historical fact. I mean, anybody, you can't argue against it, that the Hebrew text that Jesus had was the same what we have today. And then you have the apostles quoting each other as scripture. So you have scripture cannot be broken, said by Jesus, and he's talking about the Old Testament. Then you have the apostles quoting each other's books as scriptures. Like, for instance, Peter says, people twist and distort the letters of Paul as they do the rest of the scriptures. So there is this body of revelation that Jude says we're to defend the faith once delivered to the saints. The faith, that body of truth revealed in prophetic and apostolic writings that will be completed and was completed with the, you remember how the book of Revelation ends. In Deuteronomy 4, it says, and this is paraphrase, it says, don't add to it or take away from the word of God.
Right.
That's the fifth book of the Bible. There's a bunch of books to come. Did all the books that follow the book of Deuteronomy add to the word of God? No, they were part of the word of God. But then in the last chapter of the book of Revelation, you have this statement that says in so many words, anybody that adds to these words, plural, in other words, is cursed. In other words, that's like saying 10-4 over and out. That the revelation of God is complete, and don't expect any more words from God until Jesus comes at the end of time.
And by the way, folks, if you want to see an excellent debate that my friend Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries had with a Roman Catholic apologist by the name of Gary Machuda on the Apocrypha, known by the Roman Catholics as the Deuterocanonical books, look that up at aomin.org, and you will find that that debate, and perhaps you could even find it on YouTube. If you look up James White and Gary Machuda, and I think his last name is M-I-C-H-U-T-A, but I could be wrong. If you look up James White debate on Apocrypha, it will come up. But the reason why I mention that is that when you said that the Old Testament that Jesus used was the same canon that the Protestants use, the Roman Catholic apologist will say, but Jesus quoted from the Septuagint, and every ancient copy of the Septuagint, which is the Greek Old Testament, contains the Apocrypha. And I have heard that explained by people like Dr. White, is that we don't have a first century copy of the Septuagint. We have copies from later that were developed where the Apocrypha could have easily been added to that Greek translation. But do you have any other way of...
Well, I'm sure James White would be great on this subject. I would say that the Apocrypha, that is, the books written between the Old Testament and New Testament, that the Apocrypha does not claim to be the Word of God, that the Apocrypha has theological and ethical and historical mistakes in it, that are obvious, and that the one inspired Old Testament is not anyway the Septuagint. The one that's inspired of God is the Hebrew Old Testament.
And going back to the concept of something that you hinted at before, I know that this is a key part of your entire interpretation of Scripture, and it is very important in regard to the lenses through which we view Scripture, and that is something known as presuppositionalism. And if you could please explain that.
Yes, sir, if I can say one other thing first.
Sure.
And that is that Bible study you have to have an accurate translation, English translation of the Bible, which means you've got, there are all kinds of translations and paraphrases out there. You've got to make sure that you have one that's closest as possible to the original Greek and Hebrew text. And you've got to know the difference between a paraphrase and a translation. A paraphrase is where the person doing the paraphrasing is telling you what he thinks the original authors meant by what they said. Well, I may disagree with somebody on what he thinks they meant. I want to know what they wrote. I want to know what they said. And so in an accurate translation, the translator puts into English as closely as possible exactly what the original prophets and apostles wrote down on a piece of paper.
And I'm so glad that you are one of the promoters of a publisher that keeps this program on the air, and that is the publishers of the New American Standard Bible.
I was going to get to that next. That I think I heard on your program a while ago, somebody said that his preferred text was the New American Standard Version. And let me just very quickly give another plug for that. I think the most accurate English translation in history is the American Standard Version of 1901. It is great for close, careful study of the Bible. But it's not good for reading in church because it is so accurate and so in accordance with the original that the Greek and the Hebrew, unlike English, they didn't always put the subject first, then the verb, and then predicate. They would put at the front of the sentence whatever they was the most important thing in the sentence. Maybe the subject, maybe an adverb. You may not get to the subject till the end of the sentence. And so as a result, it's very difficult to follow when reading publicly. It's great for close study. So the New American Standard Version is an attempt to keep the accuracy of the American Standard Version, but to make it more readable. To make it more readable without sacrificing the accuracy of the American Standard Version of 1901.
And by the way, folks, this was not planned, but I might as well take advantage of this since...
Yeah, you might as well.
The publishers...
Now, I'm not downplaying the King James. King James is an accurate translation.
Yeah.
I just can't stand calling a Bible the King James Version when King James was a tyrant and a homosexual.
Yes, there were even some King James onlyists who prefer to call it the Authorized Version.
Yeah, well, I don't think the King or the Anglican Church ought to authorize the Bible either, but anyway.
Especially Baptists should not view it that way, and predominantly the King James onlyists are Baptists.
Now, you know what's funny to me is that you have these fundamentalists who are King James only people, and the King James was written in this high Elizabethan English, not because everybody spoke that way, but to make it fit in with Anglo-Catholic liturgy. So it's always been interesting to me that fundamentalists who are against Catholic liturgy are defending only a translation that was written in order to be friendly with that type of liturgy. But the King James is accurate, not because of King James, but in spite of King James. The only Greek scholars King James could get were the Puritans. And so that's why the King James is accurate. But I think the American Standard Version, and particularly the New American Standard Version, are more accurate. I think you ought to have both. There are other translation versions going under translations like that are popular today, and that is the New International Version. The New International Version is a mixture of translation and paraphrase, and the reason that it has probably sold more than New American Standard Version is that New International Version has a better marketing program, but it's not a reliable book. I don't recommend the New International Version. the worst paraphrase
Living Bible.
Out there is called the Living Bible. I have an Indian friend who refers to it as that broken Bible. So when you study the Bible, you got to make sure you got an accurate translation. The New American Standard is one that you should use. I read that from the pulpit. I study on that one. I also use the American Standard Version, and the King James Version is accurate too. But you need more than one translation of the Bible, and you've got to be able to distinguish translations from paraphrases. Now, when we left the last time, I told you about the best book on the subject of grammatical historical hermeneutics.
Yes.
I hate to tell you that the best book ever written on the grammatical historical hermeneutic has not been published. It's a paper written by a young man. It's magnificent. So if your audience out there wants to, tell them to contact Samuel Johnson in Tazewell, Virginia, and tell him that they heard me on an international radio station publish that book.
Yes. In fact,
I've been trying to get him to publish that book for years and years.
Yes,
ma'am. I have a paper on Sola Scriptura answering the question, can this be defended biblically? If anybody would like that paper, they can contact me through Heritage Presbyterian Church website, and I'll be glad to send them that paper.
Well, we have to go to our midway break right now, and if anybody would like to join us, send in an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com with your question for Dr. Moorcraft. As always, give us your first name, your city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA, and only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Please be patient with us because this is the longer than normal break because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle so that they can air their own public service announcements to be in compliance with the FCC regulations of localizing everything they air geographically to Lake City, Florida, while we simultaneously use this break to air our globally heard commercials. So please use this time to write down as much of the information as you can provided by our advertisers so that you can more successfully and more frequently patronize them, which will hopefully make them remain our advertisers because they're pleased with the results. And that will subsequently mean, God willing, that we will remain on the air for a longer future because we absolutely positively require the funding that comes from our advertisers to exist. So write down that information and also send us the question to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawsuit, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com, that's nasbible.com, to place your order.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how He shall be worshipped and how He shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus. Reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's LEES drugsrx.com.
Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gaddy. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth Love Parent and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Ironson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. But if you go in Associates as a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco and Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Island 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please don't forget, folks, ever forget that solid-ground-books.com is a premier, a vital sponsor of this radio program. If they should cease to advertise with us, The funding that we would lose would most likely require that we go off the air, barring a miracle from God financially. So please continue to patronize solid-ground-books.com frequently by purchasing books, not only to replenish your own library, but also to use for gifts for family, friends, and loved ones. And folks, remember to always include the lost amongst those for whom you purchase gifts from solid-ground-books.com, not just your brothers and sisters in Christ, because God very often uses good, solid, biblically-based books to lead the lost to himself and salvation. So one of the finest places that you can go, where you can be absolutely sure that the books are biblically sound, that the books are historically representing the true Christian faith and specifically Reformed theology,
go to solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com. You're not only going to be doing them a favor by purchasing books at solid-ground-books.com, and you're not only going to be doing us a favor by keeping one of our primary advertisers happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you purchase books from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor, because they publish nothing but the very finest in Christian literature from the past and the present. Always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And I am so thankful to all of you who have been buying books at solid-ground-books.com and who have been making sure you tell Mike Gaidosh, the founder of solid-ground-books.com, where you heard about them. Mike has been very pleased with the number of books he is selling to listeners of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio who describe this program in glowing terms and tell him how important this show is to them, and that is the reason that they trusted solid-ground-books.com to purchase books. So we want to thank you, all of you who have been doing that. And also, folks, tomorrow on this program, we have Dr. Latane C. Scott, a dear friend of mine going back to the 1990s, and Dr. Beth Robinson returning to this program, this time to address a new book that they have written together, Talking with Teens About Sexuality. That's tomorrow on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, February 23rd, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Make sure you tune in, and we're also going to be giving away free copies, a limited number of free copies of the book to listeners who send in questions. The day after that, we have another returning guest, Fred Butler, who is going to be addressing a part two of a discussion that we began a number of weeks ago on his book, Royal Deceptions, Exposing the King James-Only Conspiracies Against God's Word. And my guest today, Dr. Joe Moorcraft, you really enjoyed that part one of that interview, didn't you?
Yes, sir, I did.
Yeah, and Joe was asking me when Fred was coming back. Well, he will be back Wednesday, the 24th of February, for part two of a discussion on that same book, Royal Deceptions, Exposing the King James-Only Conspiracies Against God's Word. And folks, finally, if you love this show, you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail, you can send in a question, or should I say, send in a check made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to the address, the physical address that will appear on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. If you want to advertise with us, as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. I want to thank Anchored in Truth Ministries, a Reformed Baptist ministry in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, for being a new advertiser whose ads you have not yet heard. I also want to thank A.M. Brewster, a Christian counselor whose ads just recently began airing. And I look forward to hearing from many more of you who want to advertise on this program because you think it is valuable enough to use your hard-earned money to keep it on the air. Also, folks, please remember, I don't want people siphoning money away from the regular giving that they're accustomed to their own local church where they are a member in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. In other words, don't punish your church financially by blessing us financially. Also, if you are really struggling to survive and giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio at this point in time would really put your family in financial peril or jeopardy, please hold off for a while until you're back on your feet. Those two things are commands of God in Scripture, providing for your church and providing for your family. Providing for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is obviously not a command of Scripture. But if you love the show and you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to support your church and your family, then please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now, and donate frequently and generously. I want to thank all of you who have been doing that, some of you going all the way back to when we first launched this show in 2005. Some of you who are new supporters financially, I want to thank all of you from the depths of my heart for being so generous and so encouraging to me, reminding me that this show is indeed worth keeping on the air. Also, folks, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church, I may be able to help you find a church no matter where on the planet Earth you live. I've already helped people all over the world find churches, sometimes within just a few minutes' drive from their own houses, that they didn't even know existed, or they didn't know that these churches were biblically sound. So no matter where you live on the globe, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. I have lists, extensive lists of biblically faithful churches spanning the globe, and I may be able to help you find a church too. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. Put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address to send in a question to Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III on our discussion today. This is part two of a discussion we began several weeks ago, reading the Bible biblically, and that email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Let's get more involved into the details of, since you believe this is such an important aspect of reading the Bible biblically, tell us more about why presuppositionalism is so important.
When anybody approaches the Bible, he's going to come to the Bible with certain assumptions, a certain pre-understanding, presuppositions. Nobody comes to the Bible with a blank mind. We all make assumptions about various things. And if our assumptions are not drawn from the Bible itself, when we approach the Bible, we're not going to understand the Bible. For instance, if somebody assumes the Bible is simply a history of the evolution of how Israel has understood God, from a primitive polytheism to a complex polytheism to a complex monotheism to a pure monotheism, if they understand the scriptures to simply be a history of the evolution of the fall of God, they will not understand it. And besides that, it will have no authority. It is simply man expressing you his opinion on how things developed. So it all depends on how you approach the Bible and the basic assumptions you make about the Bible as to whether or not you're going to understand it. To understand the scriptures, you must presuppose and assume that it is the verbal plenary revelation of God. Verbal plenary revelation of God. That is that the Holy Spirit so guided the prophets in the Old Testament and the apostles in the New Testament that what they wrote down was the Word of God, nothing more, nothing less. And that revelation from God comes verbally. That is, it comes in sentences, words and sentences that are meaningful to us and meaningful to God. And that this revelation, this verbal revelation, is plenary. That is, it comes, that every single book of the 66 books of the Protestant Bible are inspired by God, not just the thought content, not just the information that they deliver, but the very words itself. For instance, I went to a liberal seminary, and that liberal seminary did not believe in verbal inspiration. It didn't believe in inerrancy. And some of the professors would say, well, I believe that the infallible word of God is written in the fallible words of men. Well, what in the world does that mean? I mean, I, as a man, cannot get past the words. And in modern theology, there is this tendency to separate the revelation of God from the Bible. My son had a Bible professor who came to class one day in college, put the Bible on the floor, and started jumping up and down on the Bible. So somebody in the class rebuked him and said, how dare you jump up and down on the Word of God? And he said, I would never jump up and down on the Word of God. But he was jumping up and down on the Bible. The Bible is simply a witness to the Word of God. So there is this tendency in modern theology today to separate the Bible from the Word of God in some way or another, and to say that the Bible is not the revelation of God. The revelation of God that hits you like a lightning bolt, it doesn't have any content to it. You just know you've been hit. And that the writers of the scriptures are trying to put into writing what he being hit by that lightning bolt means to them. That means the Bible has no authority whatsoever. So Paul says this astounding statement, and every time I read it, I'm amazed at it. This is a paraphrase in 1 Corinthians 2. He says that we as apostles are given information straight from the mind of God, spirit-produced thoughts in spirit-produced words. Now, what that means is that the very thoughts that are expressed in Scripture come from the mind of God himself, and the words that the apostles and prophets used to express those thoughts also originated with God. So the Bible is not only the Word of God, it is the words of God. And that means we as Christians are going to take every word seriously. Paul says, all Scripture is inspired by God. All Scripture is God-breathed. That is, it's not man-breathed, it's not apostle-breathed, it's not prophet-breathed. It does not originate with man at all, it originates with God. All Scripture, everything that goes under the name Scripture is God-breathed. What is Scripture? The Old Testament and the apostolic writings of the New Testament. And so, when we come to studying the Scriptures, we assume that none of it is the mere opinion of men. Now, God did use men. And so you have difference in writing ability, writing styles, different languages. But God knew how to use these men without making them automatons or puppets. God knew how to use these men with their different personalities, their different backgrounds, to write down exactly what God wanted us to know, nothing more, nothing less. Now, unless we presuppose that, we're not going to understand Scripture. We're going to assume that some parts of Scripture are true and some parts are false. Like, for instance, when Paul talks about the relationship of man and woman, and the relation in marriage particularly, where the husband is the head, what we're told today, well, that was just Paul's first century opinion. But it wasn't the Word of God. A Christian can't say that. Because the Bible is spirit-produced thoughts and spirit-produced words. And when Paul says that women should not be preachers and lead in worship services, they would say, well, that's just Paul's first century Jewish opinion. We as Christians cannot say that. Because every word in the Bible is from God and expresses thoughts that originate with God. And the meaning of Scripture is Scripture. That's why when we study Scripture and we want to know what God's telling us, we not only look for express verses, black and white, chapter verse, we also say, what's the meaning of those verses? What's the logical deduction we can draw from A and B? So that the meaning of Scripture is Scripture, and we see that in Paul. We're not imposing upon Scripture a way of interpreting Scripture that is extra-scriptural. Whenever Paul says, most of the time, whenever Paul is expounding the Bible, and he says, so that, he's always telling you, here's the implication. Here's the meaning of what I just told you. So reading the Scriptures biblically means approaching them as they are the very Word of God, so that when we read them, We're hearing God himself speak to us. We hear in a lot of churches today, particularly charismatic and Pentecostal churches, but more, unfortunately, we hear people say, what is God saying to the 21st century church? Well, I know what God is saying to the 21st century church. And that is the words of Holy Scripture. What he said in the first century church, he's saying to us today. And God has no more words to add to his word until he comes again in clouds of glory, whether that's tomorrow or whether that's a million years from now. That's how rich and powerful and great the word of God is. That we don't need anything else. I read for the U.S. Congress many years ago, and I would have my charismatic brothers come to me and to make prophecies that I was going to win. And then after I lost, I never saw them again. And they would say to me, they would say, Pastor Moorcraft, I have a word from God for you. And I'd say, no, thank you. I don't want to hear it. Everything I know to be fully equipped as a man of God unto every good work I have in the God-breathed books of Holy Scripture.
Amen. By the way, folks, after the show is over, you might want to look up in the IronSharpensIronRadio.com archives a two-part discussion that I recently had with Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries and Andrew Rappaport of Striving for Eternity Ministries, where we aired clips, many clips, of false prophets from the Word of Faith movement who were absolutely, positively certain that Donald Trump was going to win the presidency in a consecutive four-year term, not in 4 years from now. And how they obviously all were proven to be false, because that didn't happen. But you might find that interesting to listen to those two programs. We have an anonymous listener who says, Dr. Moorcraft, some of my closest friends are King James-only advocates. Some of what you are saying seems like it falls into line with exactly what King James-onlyists believe, especially those from the peculiar sect amongst them that believes that the Bible was actually re-inspired in 1611 and that God actually used those Anglican translators in a supernatural and perfect way to give us a perfect translation. I don't believe that's what you are saying at all, since you are not a King James-onlyist, but how can you say that we have every word that is definitely from God's own breath in modern translations if these translators themselves were not divinely inspired?
Well, I would say this, that when the Bible talks about being inspired by the Holy Spirit, it's talking about the original Hebrew and Greek. That when Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, Samuel, Isaiah, the claim the Bible makes is what they actually wrote that was inspired of God, not copies, not translations. In the New Testament, the claim for inerrancy and for plenary verbal inspiration is for the original writings of the apostles. Now, we don't have any of the original writings of the prophets or the apostles. They're gone. We don't even have copies of them. We have copies of copies. But we have thousands and thousands of Greek manuscripts. And although we don't have the originals anymore, the codices, an original is called a codex, C-O-D-E-X, plural is codices. Even though we don't have the codex, we have the text. We know what was written by the apostles. When people study these thousands of manuscripts, it becomes obvious what the text was when it was originally written, even though we don't have the originals. So that when I hold up in my hand, and I preached on this last Sunday, when I hold up in my hand an accurate English translation of the Bible, I can say without hesitation, I'm holding in my hand the very Word of God without any substantial loss over thousands of years. And so there is no translation that is inspired. It's the original that are inspired. And I actually was studying this week. They have some King James only people who say that if there is a difference between the Greek text and the King James, that you must go with the King James English version over the Greek text.
That's right. That's what Peter Ruckman taught, and now his disciples.
That is pathetic. Yeah, Ruckman, I read him. I mean, that is absolutely pathetic. Where do you get that in the Bible? Where in the Bible does it say that any translation, whether it's English or Portuguese or German, where do you have in the Bible anywhere that says there's a translation is inspired of God? Nowhere. It just says the originals are inspired by God, and that's why we have all these thousands of manuscripts, and the ones that are under the Greek manuscripts that are the basis of the New American Standard Version are old, much older, hundreds of years older, and much more reliable than the Greek manuscripts they had underlying the King James in 1611.
And isn't your belief, and the belief of the vast majority of Reformed scholars, and even those outside of the Reformed faith, but the vast majority of biblical scholars believe the best way to defend the inerrancy of scriptures is by sheer virtue of the fact that we can consult many different translations.
Yes, sir.
And that's the way we can be further assured that when we do a comparative Bible study, that we are hearing and reading the very words of God that were originally intended.
Yes, sir. I'll give you an example. And it's controversial, but nevertheless, who wants to be controversial? There is a text in the King James Version that is not in any sermon in the Greek church for 900 years after it was written. So for 900 years, nobody ever heard this story or heard a sermon on this text.
Pricaprae caught in adultery?
Yes, sir, I preached on that Sunday.
Wow.
And Chrysostom, the golden-throated preacher in the early church, was magnificent. And he wrote a long commentary on the Gospel of John. So every Sunday I'm going through John. So every Sunday I try to read Chrysostom and Augustine and Calvin and all these other people. And so I went to Chrysostom, and that section is blank. So the point is, there have been many Greek manuscripts that have been discovered since 1611 that are much older and more reliable than some of the manuscripts that the Roman Catholic priest Erasmus used to create the Textus Receptus. There were some times in which Erasmus did not have a Greek text, and so there'd be a gap in his manuscripts. So what he would do would go to the Roman Catholic Latin Vulgate and take the passage for which he had no Greek manuscripts out of the Latin Vulgate and translate it back into Greek. Now that's shoddy scholarship. So I praise the Lord that through history, God has enabled the church to find more and more manuscripts that are old, ancient, reliable. And you have people working in that whole study of the text of Scripture who want to get us back to the purest Greek and Hebrew we can possibly get to Greek and Hebrew manuscripts that are as close as possible to the original Greek and Hebrew. And that's basically the reason I prefer the New American Standard Version. Even though the King James is accurate, the New American Standard Version has gone back to more ancient, reliable Greek manuscripts so that we have in our hand an even more reliable passage, book that is the Word of God without any substantial loss for thousands of years.
That's why many people should be very careful, and I've heard this many times, that their favorite Bible verse of all is the story of the woman caught in adultery.
Well, that's a great story. I mean, I love the story.
Right, so do I. But to say that it's your favorite Bible verse is...
I read an article by a scholar in which he said, my favorite verse not found in the Bible. And he quoted that verse.
By the way...
I want to say this, like I said Sunday. People have no reason to doubt accurate English versions. There's not going to ever be in history something come up where they're going to say, uh-oh, we found another Greek version, and Jesus says he's not God. There will never be such a thing as that.
And I want to make sure that not only Susan Margaret from Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, who sent in a question, I believe, before the break, and our anonymous listener, if you give me via email your full name and mailing address, you have both won a copy of the book that we are discussing by Dr. Moorcraft, How to Read the Bible Biblically, and remember to be patient because the book has not yet been brought back into print by our friends at comprehensivechristianity.com. That's comprehensivechristianity.com. We're going to go to our final break. It's going to be much more brief than the last breaks. If you have a question that you'd like to ask, please send it in quickly because we're rapidly running out of time. It's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. You, I have to say, you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything. So we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself.
Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper,
president and professor of systematic and homiletical theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I have been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Are you tired of looking for the silver bullet when it comes to health and wellness? Are you frustrated with the medical status quo, which masks symptoms and doesn't treat the root problem of sickness? More importantly, are you looking for one of the most unique books ever written, which gives you safe, low-cost, and proven options to regain your health the way God intended? Then look no further than my new book, Health for All of Life, a medical manifesto of hope and healing for the nations. Hi, I'm Jason Garwood, and I'm a husband, father, pastor, and writer whose passion for helping people led me to write this book. If 2020 has proven anything, it's that big pharma, big tech, and big government knows nothing about how to treat people naturally without poisoning them with synthetic drugs and experimental vaccines. But what if God has given us a better way? What if we can take the Christian worldview found in the Bible and apply it to health and wellness? My book, Health for All of Life, does just that. You can find this exciting new book on Amazon. Pick up a copy for yourself and for your friends and family. Give the gift of health and don't be a dead end to truth.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest in buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please don't forget, folks, that for a donation of $35 or more to the Historical Bible Society, you will receive a
9 by 12, 44-page book, gorgeous book that looks like it's printed on parchment paper, that contains the artwork directly off of a first edition King James Bible from 1611, the first year it was printed. And this is a part of the collection of the Historical Bible Society. When they tour churches, schools, and other organizations, they put that on display. But these prints of this beautiful artwork, 17th century artwork, has been taken directly from this first edition, 1611, compiled in 44 pages in a 9 by 12 inch book. It's yours for your donation of $35 minimum to historicalbiblesociety.org, historicalbiblesociety.org, and you can find out at that website how to donate and get your copy, your 44-page copy of this 9 by 12 beautiful genealogy of Jesus. We are now back with our guest, Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III, for our final segment of today's interview. And Dr. Moorcraft, I'd like you to have approximately 4 minutes or so to summarize what you really want etched most in the hearts and minds of our listeners today about this very important topic of how to read your Bible biblically.
Well, we've been talking about presuppositions. We have to presuppose that the words, as well as the thoughts, are from God and not from man. But there's another presupposition that is so vitally important, and maybe next time we can talk about it, and that is we have to presuppose a unity of the Bible. We have to presuppose that the Bible is united in both Old Testament and New Testament by a common theme and a common structure, and that is what we call the covenant. And God's covenant is that bond of friendship that he has established with his people in the Lord Jesus Christ. And every book of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is about that particular theme. Everything that happens to the people of God in the Old and New Testament happens because they all live within the same framework and the same structure, and that is the covenant of God. They share the same promises. They share the same definitions. They share the same laws. And everything that happens to the people of God in the Old or New Testament happens because either they believe the promises of the covenant or they disobey the laws of the covenant. They all live within the same structure. And every book of the Bible contributes something to that unifying theme, that God has entered into a bond of friendship with his people through the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, there is no great dichotomy between the Old Testament and the New Testament, the way most Christians think today. The Old Testament was for another era, for the Jewish people. The New Testament is for the church. There is no such split in the Scriptures. That there is this structural and thematic unity from Genesis to Revelation. And the great thing about that is that today we, as God's people, live within the same structure. That the same covenantal structure, laws and promises, that govern what happened to God's people all through the Bible, still governs our lives to this very day. So there's not only a unity to the Scripture, there is a great unity between the Scriptures and the Church of God in this century. We can maybe talk about that next time.
Well, how do you take the truths that you just unfolded and declared and prevent yourself from falling into the heresy? In fact, it's so serious. It's a damnable heresy, and the Apostle Paul had some very serious words against it, the heresy known as Judaizing.
Oh, it is. It's basically legalism that says that you have to earn your way to heaven by faithfully obeying the laws of God. That was not only a heresy in the New Testament, that was a heresy in the Old Testament. The Old Testament did not believe and did not teach that we are saved by obeying the law of God. The Old Testament taught exactly what's in the New Testament. That is, we're saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. And if that faith is real, it's going to show itself in obedience to God. It's interesting that in the fourth chapter of Romans, where Paul gives the two best illustrations he knew of what it meant to be saved by faith in Christ alone, He chose Abraham and David, both of whom Old Testament characters. So legalism was not only condemned in the book of Galatians. Legalism was condemned throughout the scriptures. It was a religion that was formed largely between the Testaments, and rabbinical Judaism of the first century was eaten up with it. And so is the church today. We've got to earn salvation. We've got to do enough good things to make enough points with God to like us, where the gospel is exactly the opposite. We're saved by grace through faith in Christ alone, apart from the works of the law. And if that faith is real, it's going to show itself in obedience to God and in the love, because faith without works is dead.
Yeah, the rabbinical Judaism there's a very clear reflection of rabbinical Judaism in the Roman Catholic Church, isn't it? Because rabbinical Judaism, which actually carries on to this very day, upholds the Talmud, the extra-canonical, uncanonical books that were written purely from the thoughts of rabbis, that were not prophets of old. They were not being divinely inspired as the other authors, or as should I say, as the authors of the Hebrew Scriptures. And even modern-day Judaism, no matter how strict it may be, puts far too much emphasis on these non-canonical teachings, which is the same as the Church of Rome. They put so much emphasis on tradition that they wind up teaching as dogma things that are absolute heresy.
I had a Jewish rabbi tell me, and this is an exact quote, quote, "Judaism is not a religion of the Torah. It is a religion of the rabbis."
Amen. In fact, an Israeli who you may have heard of, he's a Reformed Baptist Israeli, born and raised in Israel, spent some time in his youth in the United States and then returned to Israel. But Baruch Ma'oz actually wrote a book called Judaism is Not Jewish.
Oh, that's good.
But going back to that point one more time to further clarify, how do you prevent from importing into the New Testament things like the insistence upon circumcision, which was a requirement not for salvation in the Old Covenant, as many people wrongly believe, but it was essential to be connected with the nation of Israel. And there are those heretics even today. They may be a minority, but there are some messianic groups that are heretical that take that to the extreme of saying that the church needs to do that today. They may say it's not to be saved, but they would say you need to do it to be a Christian or to be identified with the people of Yeshua.
Well, this would be the difference between Reformed Baptists and Reformed Presbyterians. As a Reformed Presbyterian, I believe that the sign of the covenant, which in the Old Testament was circumcision, I believe Colossians 2 tells us that what circumcision meant in the Old Testament is now symbolized in baptism. So we're still commanded to bear the sign of the covenant, but through the centuries, the sign changed from circumcision to baptism because there are no sacraments in the Christian church that require the shedding of blood, and there are no sacraments that are limited to one sex over the other. The new covenant is bigger and larger than the old covenant. And just like Passover required the shedding of blood, the Lord's Supper, which fulfilled Passover, does not require the shedding of blood. In the Old Testament, women could not take the Passover. In the New Testament, we find women taking the sacraments. So the sign of the covenant is still commanded of us. We are still required to be baptized, which is the sign of the covenant, but the sign itself has changed. And when you study the New Testament, Paul did not go around making professed Christians be circumcised, but he did require them to be baptized as people who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, there you have an example of the fact that Chris Arnzen does not only interview people that he agrees 100% with.
There you go.
Because as Joe knows, I am a Reformed Baptist, so we do disagree on that issue. But I want to thank you for doing such a superb job today. I want to remind our listeners that if you want to find out more about Joe Moorcraft's writings, go to comprehensivechristianity.com. Comprehensivechristianity.com. If you want to find out more about Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, where he is the pastor, go to heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. I want to thank you so much, Dr. Moorcraft, for being my guest. I want to thank everybody who listened. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.